What's up, Oos? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me, about to get them, all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Donald Trump just got the highest approval rating of any poll that this particular pollster has gotten in the last decade of Trump being in politics. And while that's all good, it's all good news. We're going to break down that poll. It also leads to a somewhat confusing piece of news that we got just today. A Republican just lost his seat to a Democrat in Iowa, in the Iowa Senate. And usually we wouldn't care much about what one Senate seat in a random red state means, but this one is a bit scary, and Republicans cannot be complacent. I think this has a lot to do with the midterms. Here are the election results. You can see right here. They're not good. Christopher Prosh, I believe is his name, lost by 9% to Caitlin Dre. And what you see at the bottom of this, and this is the real big problem, I mean, this is what's actually scary, is that Trump won this particular area by 11.5% just less than a year ago, in November. So we're talking 9 months ago. Trump won this by 11.5%, and today Dre, who is a Democrat, won by 9%. That's a 21% shift in Trump, in a Trump-controlled state Senate district, and I think that's very, very scary, and we're going to break it down, because it means Democrats could totally win the midterms if they play their cards like they did here. And if Republicans, conversely, do absolutely nothing, which we'll talk about, then yeah, we could totally lose the midterms. Republicans could totally lose. Conservatives would be down and out 2 years after Trump had a massive victory over Kamala Harris and Democrats. If you look right now at Trump's approval rating, it's actually quite good. It's like really good. Some would say it's close to 50% if you look at those polls. Some are saying it's, you know, closer down to 37. If you look right now, the average is around 46%, which is pretty solid. But this new poll from the AP is actually the best poll in my opinion. And I'll tell you why. What you're seeing here is that Trump is at 45% approval rating. And you're thinking, okay, 45%, not that good. I mean, you know, it's middle of the line. It's not what Joe Biden was at. Joe Biden was at like 36%, so it's a lot better than that. But 45% is something special. But what you see at the bottom is that this is Trump's highest approval rating ever by this AP NORC poll, including his first term. And that's a huge deal. And this brings me to my kind of rule about polls, because I have a lot of people in the comments saying, look, Josh, the polls don't really matter. And I get that. I mean, there's a lot of polls that are inaccurate. I think there are some that are actually quite accurate. They certainly have a incentive to try to be accurate. Otherwise, no one trusts them. But even if the polls aren't accurate, this is my philosophy with it. I don't know if the 45% in this particular poll is really accurate. I don't know if 45% exactly in America support Donald Trump. It could be much higher. In fact, it probably is, if we're being honest. But I do trust the momentum of the polls that we get from the same pollsters, meaning if today the AP gets a 45% for Trump, and in a week we get a 47% approval rating for Trump, and then in 2 weeks we get a 48 or 49% approval for Trump, we can see that the momentum is with Trump. Now, we don't know exactly what the numbers are. Again, I'm not saying the numbers are exactly right, but what we can see is that the same pollster using the same methods is getting better numbers for Donald Trump over time. And that's a good thing. This is the method that I used in 2024 to make my election predictions. And to be honest, my prediction was pretty dang close. It was pretty good. I predicted he would take the popular vote. I was right about all the states except Nevada, because again, we had some faulty pollsters there, and that was a little bit difficult. But I used this to see the momentum, and the momentum was clearly with Donald Trump in 2024. And so again, even though 45%, maybe not that high, the fact that it's the best ever for Donald Trump for the AP is very good news. Now, where does this all tie in to the Iowa special election? How does a district that goes Trump plus 11 go Democrat plus 9 just less than 1 year later? 9 months is not a lot of time. It's just 9. The unfortunate truth is Trump has a much higher approval rating than the Republican Party. That's just the truth. And we've seen that over the last, I mean, literally since he got, you know, he took the limelight in 2016. Right now, the Republican Party approval is sitting in the high 30s, which is way better than Democrats. Democrats are sitting at like 19 to 25%. Republican Party's around 36, 37%. And Trump, on average, is in the high 40s. And so Trump is way outperforming Republicans, just at large. One of the most remarkable things about Trump is that his approval floor is much higher than your traditional politician. A lot of politicians, they've got a floor, right? They've got a base that's never going to change. And the remarkable thing about Trump is that he's locked in this MAGA base that's just not going anywhere. And that MAGA base is quite big. It seems about 37% maybe of Americans by the data are solid MAGA, meaning Trump's just not going to have polls lower than that. That is his base. And 37 might sound low, but it's actually quite high. It's very good. The floor for a random Republican candidate right now is like 0% plus their friends and family, maybe. So 1%. And I think that was true for this Republican in Iowa. That's why the loss in Iowa happened. Democrats are obviously very happy about this. Ken Martin, he's the chair of the DNC. He sent out a statement. This is what he said. He said, quote, "Iowans are seeing Republicans for who they are, self-serving liars who will throw their constituents under the bus to rubber stamp Donald Trump's disastrous agenda, and they're ready for a change." So those are fighting words from Ken Martin. So much for being a uniter. I mean, straight up says self-serving liars. It's a little intense, again, for a DNC chair who's supposedly supposed to be bringing more people in. I don't think Republicans are going to be incentivized to vote Democrat when they're called self-serving liars. In any case, Democrats are vicious. They're happy about this Republican blunder, which it is. This is a statement from the Iowa GOP chairman, Jeff Kaufman, and it's ridiculous. This is what he said. He said it on X. He said, "National Democrats were so desperate for a win that they activated 30,000 volunteers and a flood of national money to win a state Senate special election by a few hundred votes." And there's only a few hundred, I mean, there's a few thousand people in this district. It's not a large district. So he says a few hundred votes. That is significant. He then continues. He says, "If the Democrats think things are suddenly so great again for them in Iowa, they will bring back the caucuses." Now, this is not taking responsibility. Jeff should 100% get fired, in my opinion. This is like Ronna McDaniel. I don't know if you remember Ronna McDaniel. She was the GOP chair after Trump won and then proceeded to lose every single freaking election until she was ousted in, I think, 2023 when the Trump family took over, and then Trump won again. So she's a horrible, horrible GOP chairman. She was the national chairman. And this reeks of Ronna McDaniel, in my opinion. He didn't take responsibility. He essentially admitted that he got overworked. I mean, he literally says National Democrats were so desperate for a win, they activated 30,000 volunteers. Well, dude, where were the 30,000 Republican volunteers? Like, that's what you do. That's your whole job, dude. It's not like this is the national chair. I'm not saying the national chair should get fired for what happened in Iowa, but he is the Iowa GOP chairman. This was a special election, meaning it was the only one going on. This isn't like the, oh, you know, the normal elections were going on as the midterms. We won some, we lost some. I couldn't win them all. That's fair. But this is the only election going on, and you failed miserably, and your excuse is, oh, they just had a lot of volunteers and a lot of money. That's your whole job as a chairman, is to have volunteers and money, dude. So it doesn't matter how small an election is. There has to be consequences. So he should get fired. I'm not saying the Republican Party should just unload millions of dollars in a random district in Iowa. You have to be smart about your money. I understand that. But the ground game was not there for Republicans. It was there for Democrats. That's why they won. And what I'm hearing from the Iowa Republican Party is just weak sauce. Plain and simple, it's weak sauce. And this leads to what I'm nervous about for the midterms. The Republican Party cannot have that attitude for the midterms. Again, he should get fired, 100%. And if that was the national chair, like Ronna McDaniel, they should get fired too. Because a 21-point swing, I just can't get over that number. It's massive. That is so big. A 21-point swing would move most districts in the country to Democrats in the midterms. And I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm saying if that's what we're up against, if that's how poor the Republican Party wants to do, then every single district in this country is a swing district. Anything could happen. It doesn't matter that Trump won that district by 11% or 15% or 20%. If you don't do anything to campaign, you will lose. That's what happened in Iowa just now. We'll see if Republicans will learn their lesson in the midterms. Really quick, before we get back to the show, the progressive left is a cult. We know this. We talk about it all the time. And I talk about it in my book, A New Cult. I talk about some crazy stories that you actually cannot talk about on YouTube because big tech will censor me. But luckily, it's in the book. Go check it out right now. The link is in the description below. California Republicans, led by James Gallagher, are proposing to split California into once again. This is not the first proposal, but it's important. I want to show you the proposal he's submitting, and then I'm going to show you what it means politically in terms of congressmen, the amount of electoral votes, etc., how it would affect us nationally. This is the proposal. You can see it in this map right here. And frankly, and what you're seeing is yellow is Republican, blue is going to be the Democrat. I know it's not technically Republican, Democrat, but let's be honest, that's what it is, right? It's actually, frankly, very generous from this Republican, I think. What you can see is that the only connection that the state has to the ocean is in its most top part, and that's a Republican part of the, you know, of California, so it's not crazy to imagine that that would be there. And then the rest of the coast is the liberal part of California, the original state. I mean, San Diego, they get Ventura, Santa Barbara, San Francisco, all of it. And that's not to say that the Republican state wouldn't get a lot of beautiful areas. I mean, I think there you go, Yosemite would be in their state. They've got, you know, Mount Shasta, beautiful areas in there. And so obviously that would come into play. That would be part of the negotiation is like, bro, who's getting the most beautiful parts of California? The reality is California is amazing. It's a beautiful place. And so both states would have a lot of beauty, a lot of amazing parts to it. And I actually think this is a very normal map. I actually don't think this is a crazy map at all. I think it's very generous for both sides. The 17 coastal counties, that would be like the liberal one, would together create a state of 29.5 million people. So huge state still. The inland state, which again would be the Republican state, would be home to 10 million people. So both very large states. That would mean that the new Republican-led state would get exactly a third of the congressmen. That would come out to 17 Congress members, still a large state. And then a liberal California would get about 34, which is huge. Each would still have two senators. So that would mean we'd have 51 states. And that would mean that we would have 102 senators rather than 100. That also means that the new California, would have 19 electoral votes when deciding the president, and the old one would have 36. It would turn the old California into a Democrat stronghold. It already kind of is, but it would be even more Democrat. And then it would be like Massachusetts, DC level, you know, really intense. The new California under Republicans would be like Utah or Tennessee. It would be very, very Republican. A lot of people don't know this. California has more Republicans in it than any other state. And most of it is in that part of the map that they're wanting to split with the coastal regions. It would be a Republican stronghold. It would essentially make it impossible for Democrats to take the Senate for a long time because, again, there'd be two senators more on the Republican side. It would also make it a lot more difficult for them to take the House because, again, now we're having, you know, 15, maybe 14, 15 more Republican House seats in that area. I mean, a lot of those are already House seats, so I don't know if it'd be more, but it would be more than the current gerrymandering that's gone on in California. And even though it's a great proposal, I think it's worth a shot. I actually think it's something that most Californians would be okay with. But there's no way Democrats would allow it to happen. And the reason why is for the reasons I just talked about in terms of more Congress members, electoral votes, and senators. It would be a huge win for Republicans, politically speaking. One of the kind of ironic things about this proposal is Gavin Newsom has actually been going on and on and on about, this has been on X as well as the mainstream media, about how much his state produces in terms of the economy. It's the fourth largest economy in the world. And what a lot of liberals are talking about is how all of that comes from the coastal cities in America. All the GDP, this is the way of kind of putting down rural Americans that liberals are doing right now. You can see this map. This map has kind of been going around. What you see is that the blue and the orange, respectively, each represent 50% of the GDP in America. So most of the GDP is coming from coastal cities. That's absolutely true. There's nothing wrong with admitting that. But the problem is they're using it as a cudgel against rural America. And what I think is kind of ironic about this is if that's true and liberals want to brag about it, just cut the other people out of the state. Because what they're saying right now is, look, we're in the coastal cities. We're the elites. We do all of the work and then we're subsidizing rural America. And I know politically they don't want to do it, but in terms of what people want out of lifestyle, I think this is such a slam dunk of a deal. Like, do it then. Yeah, if you want to be part of your coastal city paradise elitism where you make all the GDP, cut them out. I'm pretty sure the rural Americans are going to be very happy not being a part of your state. You know, you've got the snooty coastal elites. They can produce all the GDP. The country folk can just enjoy their lives without cities controlling their laws in their way of life. It's unlikely to happen, almost impossible, but I do commend Gallagher for trying. I think it's worth a try every now and again. I think conservatives in a large liberal state anywhere in America should try to do the same thing. The Josh Carr Show is now on We The Free. We The Free is a conservative streaming platform. Don't support the liberal ones. They don't have your best intentions at heart. They use money to create woke crap. That does not happen on We The Free. We The Free has political commentary. It also has a ton of Second Amendment content. That is absolutely fantastic. Go check it out right now. The link is in the description below. Thank you so much for watching this episode, everybody. Please like the video so other great patriots will see it and big tech will actually share it and it won't censor it. And you can check out the show every single weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, and you can watch another video right here.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.